Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to gather around your word. Pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, anoint me and anoint this congregation. Father, help us to hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against the Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd guide us with your word into paths of righteousness. Help us to follow the ways of the Lord. God, I pray that you'd help me to say only those things you want me to say, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every once in a while, every few years, I'll go through the Ten Commandments, and I felt like going through them this year, so this will be our second one. The first commandment is, thou shalt have none other gods before me. And the second one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Both of those deal with the sin of idolatry. We're not to have any God in addition to the Lord, none side by side with him, none in addition to him. And we're not to make any graven image or any likeness of God. Now, this commandment is a commandment that really primarily guards the nature of God and the greatness of God. For any likeness of God diminishes God. The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, to what will you liken me? To whom will you liken me? To what will you liken me? But there's nothing in all the universe that we can liken God to. So therefore we are forbidden to make any likeness, any image of God. For any image of God diminishes the nature and the greatness of God. America is increasingly pagan in its ideas and in its practices. And the Ten Commandments, even though they are looked upon by some in our nation as being necessary, by and large, the Ten Commandments are rejected in this nation by the church world in general, and of course by society. It's being unnecessary and irrelevant in our modern times. But you know, these commandments are given to us from the mind of God to train us and show us the way that we can live so that we demonstrate love for God and love for our fellow man. The first four commandments deal with our relationship to God. Those first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All of those commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And God gave those commandments to the children of Israel because he loved Israel. I'm telling you, he did not give these commandments to Israel to be a burden to them. He gave them the commandments because he loved them. And he was seeking to guard the relationship between him, himself, and the nation of Israel, his people. He was seeking to guard that relationship with these commandments. All around Israel, the nations all around Israel were given to idolatry. This was the prevalent form of worship in the world that Israel was in. All around them, all the nations around them were nations full of idolatry. And God was setting Israel apart. This commandment would set Israel apart from all the nations around them. They were not to have any kind of image that they bowed down to or worshiped. They were forbidden to be idolaters. And this would set them apart from all the nations of the world. They were not to make any graven image of God. This idolatry is the transfer of our worship and devotion from the Creator to the created order. Something or someone receives from us the adoration and the devotion and the worship that is due to God alone. This is what idolatry is. It attributes to someone or something that affection and love and devotion and praise and worship that's due to God, the Creator, alone. And we give it to something or someone in His creation. Idolatry violates the nature and greatness of God. You remember Israel violated this commandment while God was giving the Ten Commandments on the top of Mount Sinai. And in the valley below, they made a golden calf. They didn't say, all right, here's another God for you all. They said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They weren't making another God. They were making a representation of the true and living God. It angered the Lord. I'm telling you, God was angry about that. He was so angry that he told Moses, I'm going to wipe this nation out and I'm going to start all over with you. And if it had not been for Moses standing in the gap, making up the hedge, interceding for Israel, God would have wiped that nation off the face of the earth. Idolatry is a serious thing to God. You hear me? I said idolatry is a serious thing to God. Now we may not pay much attention to this commandment, that thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And it may seem to us irrelevant for our day. But I want you to know that this commandment is quoted more often than any other commandment in the Bible. Because the heart of man tends toward idolatry. It tends toward the worship of the created order instead of the Creator. We tend to want to worship something we can see and feel. Something that's tangible instead of something that we cannot see or someone that we cannot see. We tend to want to worship something we can see. We can put our hands on it. We can look at it. That's the tendency of fallen man is toward idolatry. America is full of idolatry. You may not believe that, but America is full of idolatry. And the church world is full of idolatry. And God has told us that He hates idolatry. This is something that's to God, is detestable. It angers the Lord. He's going to wipe out a whole nation because of idolatry. Now, we live in an area where Roman Catholicism's not very strong. The Orthodox Church is not very strong. We don't encounter so many of them. But in those churches, when we were over in the Holy Land, in Israel, and these churches built over these sites of historical sites, biblical historical sites, and the images and the various representations that people worship in these kinds of churches, And it seems like, I don't know what they do with this commandment. I really don't know what they do with this commandment. And I want you to understand that this commandment does not forbid the representation of anything in the created order. These children have dolls. And we take pictures. And this commandment does not forbid any representation of anything in the created order. For in the Old Testament, actually, in the tabernacle, there were representations of angels over the mercy seat and in the curtains of the tabernacle. So it doesn't forbid the representation of anything in the created order. But it forbids the representation of anything in the created order that we worship, that we give our adoration to, that we give our worship to. So anything in the created order that we give devotion to is idolatry. And that is what this commandment is forbidding. America is a country of idolatry. We worship things. We worship material things. We have a society of idol worshipers. Right now, I've been reading some about this Fox News program. I guess it's on television. It's called American Idol. Have y'all heard of that? American Idol. And they, from the way I understand it, they get people that's talented from all over the country to come and display their talents before these judges at singing and so forth, and they call it American Idol. And I really don't know, but that they are seeking to make an idol out of somebody in that group. And I understand they've been able to do that because America worships the rich, the beautiful, the talented, those that entertain them well. You just wouldn't believe the kind of money that we pay people that are beautiful and talented and rich. We will pay them millions of dollars to play games and entertain us. Yeah. These ball players make much more money than our president does. This is what we value the most. And these people are the trendsetters in our society. If a ball player or a wrestler or a boxer or somebody, he gets this hairdo, he makes zigzags in his hair, he gets certain kind of beard, or he'll set a trend. He puts earrings in his ears or circles in his ears or whatever he does, it'll catch on in society because there are people mimicking their idols in society. These boys that go around with their britches turned around backwards, where did they get that idea? Their mom and daddy didn't teach them that. You know they didn't. These boys that go around with their britches about to fall off, you know their mom and daddy didn't teach them that. Where did they get that? They got it from their idols. That's where they got it. They got it from these rap stars. They got it from these rock and roll stars. They got it from these people that young people idolize in our society, and they mimic them in the way they dress and the way they act and the way they walk. And you understand, when you get saved, brother, you quit walking like the world. You quit idolizing the world. You quit mimicking the world. You quit dressing like the world. You quit acting like the world. You no longer worship the same idols the world does. I'm telling you, the grace of God will take that swagger out of your walk. The grace of God will cause you to act like a child of God instead of like a wild rebel in the world. America's full of idolatry. These musicians, get up and sing about killing mama and killing daddy and cutting their bodies up and throwing them out the window. They sing about fornication. They sing about immorality of all kinds, homosexuality. Our children are listening to these things. They sing about suicide, and our young people commit suicide under the influence of these idols in the entertainment world. Brother, America is a society saturated with idols, and God says, I hate it. Now, I want to tell you something. It ain't just out in the world. We can make idols out of preachers, too. You know? We can make idols out of people that we admire, their abilities, their talents. And you know, there are people in the church world who are seeking disciples after themselves. And what we are after as the people of God is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be a follower of me unless I'm following Jesus. I want you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And we've made idols out of preachers across this country. And it's very, we just have this tendency in our hearts. We have this tendency in our nature to idolize people that we admire. Now the problem is this. The Bible indicates that whatever is our idol, whatever we worship, we become like that. Whatever we worship, whatever we adore, our life tends to become like what we worship. So if our idol, if our God is a violent God, then we tend to become violent. If our God is a greedy God, then we tend to become greedy. The gods of the Greeks, you know, Greek mythology, I guess you may have studied Greek mythology in school. That's where I encountered Greek mythology in school, public school. And the Greek gods were exalted people. They lived up in the skies. They had superpowers. There was a pantheon of them. There was a multitude of them. And they had different realms in which they were over, you know. Some over the rain, some over the storm, some over the crops, some over this, some over that. And these gods had characteristics like people. They fought wars. They committed fornication. They had children out of wedlock. All kinds of sins were prevalent among the gods of the Greeks because they were the product of men's minds and the imagination of men's minds. They could only imagine what they were in a larger sense. So they made these gods with all the characteristics of fallen man, exaggerated characteristics of fallen man, and you know, every society becomes like what they worship. Yeah, that's why it's so important that we understand that there's only one true and living God. He's holy. He's high. There's none to compare to Him. And you will become like Him if you worship Him. That's why we all, over time, after we get saved, if we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become more like each other. You know why? Because we're all becoming more like Him that loved us and gave Himself for us on the cross of Calvary. We're becoming more like the God that we worship. This commandment tells us, don't make idols out of any part of the created order. And it says that if you do, God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. Now, does that mean that God has some flaw in His character, that God is jealous? Well, is there such a thing as a godly jealousy? I sure hope so, because I'm jealous about my wife. Yeah. I just really don't want to see her lock arms with some other man, especially some good-looking man, and walk down the street, you know, with some good-looking man, and I just run up on that. I just wouldn't like to see that. Would you? I don't think that's being sinful. I don't think that's a flaw in character. I think that's godly. Do you? Yeah. This is the way God feels about you. God is jealous over you. What causes that jealousy? What makes me jealous over my wife? Now, I know you can have an unhealthy jealousy. I know that's true. I know that there are people. I had a teacher in school. She liked to drove her husband crazy. She'd talk to me. She knew I was religious, and she'd talk to me. I was in high school. She'd talk to me about her husband. She was driving the poor man crazy. She's accusing him of being unfaithful to her, and she's just so jealous of him, he couldn't find no peace. You know, some people don't just have an unhealthy jealousy about their companion. And one man would lock his wife in the house while he went to work. You know, you can just get overboard with this thing. And I knew the man. Well, the reason now, I'm talking about a healthy jealousy. The reason I'm jealous over my wife is I love her. I love her. Oh, my. I love that woman. I don't want to lose her. I want her affection because I love her. I have committed my life to that woman as long as I live or she lives. I've committed my life to her. I meant it, brother. When I went to the altar that day and I said, till death do us part, I meant what I said. I still mean what I said. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I ain't entertaining. I ain't looking nowhere. I ain't thinking about who I'd like to have if something were to happen to my wife. I ain't got nobody picked out. No, no, no. No, no, no. I'm telling you, brother, God has given to me a love for that woman, and that's the only woman I want as long as I live. As long as she lives, till death do us part. And I'm happy, praise God, happy with her. There's a godly jealousy because I love that woman. You know why God's jealous over you? He loves you. That's the reason God is jealous over you. And He wants your affection. He wants your affection. He wants you to love Him. That is why God is jealous over you. God is a jealous God. Now, I want you to understand something from this commandment. This commandment contradicts the modern conception that God is very tolerant. He is very intolerant of any competition for His glory. And He says here, that He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate Him. God is not tolerant of anything that robs Him of the affection that's due Him or the glory that is due to Him. It angers God. I'm telling you, that's why God said, I'm going to wipe Israel out. Because they fell into this sin of idolatry. It is serious to God. Now, I may make some of you mad here tonight, but I want you to know that the television, Hollywood, has been the creator of America's idols. You hear me? I said, Hollywood has been the creator of America's idols. They have created idols for America. You walk into the stores and on the grocery stores, and there are these magazines, People Magazine, and all these, what do you call them? Smut magazines? I don't know. Midnight, what do you call them? Inquirer, there you go. These magazines that follow popular people. And you know, people follow every move some of these people make. They know the movie stars. They know every move they make. They know what kind of money they make, what kind of clothes they wear, where they go on vacation. They pattern their lives after these people that they admire, that they idolize. And Hollywood has been the creator of America's idols. Yeah, really has. God is not tolerant about idolatry. He's not indifferent toward those that trade him off or diminish him. God says, I'm jealous. I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, that fail to love me like I love them. Now, I want you to understand also from this commandment that your failure to worship God, that your idolatry will affect not only you, but your children. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, does that mean that God charges my children with my idolatry? Does God charge my children with my sins? Does God charge my grandchildren with my sins? Am I guilty of drunkenness because my dad was a drunkard? Am I guilty of gambling because my dad was a gambler? Does God charge me with the sins of my father, my grandfather? Is this what God is saying? Well, the Bible makes it very clear in other places that God does not charge a man's sins to his children or his grandchildren. The man that sins, he shall die in his own sins. And God does not charge your children with your sins. He doesn't charge your grandchildren with your sins. But the fact is, brother, that your life is going to affect your children, your grandchildren, and future generations are going to be affected by how you treat God. Oh yeah. Now I know people are saved out of families that didn't know God. We've got people here tonight, first generation Christians, first generation holiness people. God saved them out of darkness, brought them into marvelous light. But I'm speaking now in a general sense. You're going to bless your children or you're going to curse your children by how you react to God. It's a fact, brother and sister. It is just generally speaking. I know we can get out from under that. We can get saved. We can hear the gospel. We can respond to the gospel. But generally speaking, it's very difficult for anybody to get away from the gods of their parents. Now, if your dad, if you are an idolater. And the Bible says covetousness is idolatry, right? Covetousness is idolatry. If you are a covetous person, if you live for material things, if that is your God, if that is the purpose of your life, it's very difficult for your children to escape that attitude of covetousness. They too will, mostly, just generally speaking, will think that material things is the most important reason for living. So it's very difficult to escape the gods of your parents. And for this reason, it is critical that you and I give God the glory that's due to His name, that you and I worship the Lord our God. In fact, the New Testament statement of this command is this: that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the New Testament statement of this commandment. In a positive way, God says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. This is the way God intends for everybody to worship Him. He is not material. He is not a created being. He is spirit. He's the creator, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brother, when we know Him, when we know God in His true nature, when we've experienced God in our heart and life, I'm telling you, there's a worship in our heart toward Him. You cannot know Him without worshiping Him. And there's a worship in your heart, in spirit and in truth. And you know, when we assemble together in the house of God like we are here tonight, the most important thing we do is not that we sing or that we pray or that we carry on the duties of this service, but that we really worship God in our hearts and in our spirit, because God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Brother, God inhabits the praises of His people. When we come to the house of God, you don't have to be loud. You don't have to be, always out front. You don't always have to be heard. But there ought to be something inside of you reaching for God, glorifying God, honoring the Lord in your heart. You know, I don't feel like everybody has to do it just like me. You know, some people feel like you ain't worship God if you don't do it just like them. I don't feel that way. I don't think that people have to do it just like me. And I know I'm an oddball some places I go because I don't do it just like somebody else does. But I'm telling you, everybody has got to know Him and love Him and worship Him in your heart, brother. Oh, hallelujah. God wants us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And I want to tell you, you're going to worship something. You're going to worship the Creator or the created order. Something you're going to worship. And if you're worshiping something out yonder, you can't come in here and worship God. But if your heart is set on God, your affection is set on the Lord, and your heart, you're in love with Jesus, when you come to the house of God, this is the most important thing that you do, is you give glory and honor to Him. Hey, you know, when we're singing up here, I'm trying to figure out the message of that song. Hear the message of that song. I want my mind focused on God. I want to worship Him. The beat, for some people, they can't worship without the beat being right. But that ain't what it's all about. What's all about is the message of the song. Our minds are being directed to God. I believe there's some people that they get into some kind of worship without really ever thinking about God. Their minds are not even on God. They're going through the motions, maybe clapping their hands or stomping their foot or doing some outward manifestation without even thinking about God. But you can't worship God without thinking about God. You can't worship God without realizing His greatness. You can't worship God without thinking about how wonderful He is. Hallelujah. This is what worship's all about. We adore Him. We give Him glory. We think about how wonderful God is, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. This is what God wants us to do when we come together in the house of God. God wants us to give Him the glory that's due to His name. Now, I'm telling you, I ain't through yet. This commandment gives us a warning. God says, I hate idolatry. It's going to affect you and your children if you give yourself to it. But He says, if you will worship Me in spirit and in truth, that God, listen to this. He said that God will bless them. How's it said? He says that He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments, God shows mercy to them. Brother, I'm telling you, you can bring mercy upon you, upon your families, and if you will worship God in spirit and in truth, and if you will give God the glory that's due to His name, the blessings of God will be on you, and the blessings of God will be upon your family. If you'll worship God, hey, oh my, it's so important, brother and sister, that God be so great in your mind and heart that you pass on to your children how wonderful God is, how great God is, how magnificent God is, How kind He is. What wonderful mercy He has. That He's faithful to His promises. That He hears and answers prayer. And we pass on to future generations the wonderful mercies and grace of God. God says, I bless you. I show mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Oh, my brother, this is the promise of God. Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's a blessing pronounced upon every family, every individual, every church that will worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh, I believe God will shake us loose around here. I believe God will shake us loose around here. If we'll give God glory and worship God in spirit and in truth, and I believe God will shake us loose around here. I believe God's blessing to be poured out on us. Hey, we're missing out on so much, people, because we don't worship God like we ought to. But if we come to the house of God, and this is our main business, and that we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and God's going to bless us if we'll worship Him, give Him the glory that's due to His name. And this ain't just for old folks. Oh, no. Hey, we talk about these young people being the church of the future. They're not the church of the future. They're the church of right now. When they are saved, young people, when you are saved, this is the main business of life. It's to know God and worship Him. I'm telling you, this is the main business of life. It's to know God and worship Him. Praise God. You ain't going to never backslide worshiping God. I'm telling you, you're not going to ever backslide worshiping God. You're not going to ever lose out when you're admiring and glorifying and worshiping God. When you can come to church and nothing affects you, the Word of God don't affect you. The songs don't affect you. The testimonies don't affect you. You're in trouble. But when you come to the house of God and you're affected by the revelation of God in His Word and in the songs, and the Spirit of God touches your heart and your life, and you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, brother, I'm telling you, you'll never backslide worshiping God. Whether you're mom or dad, son or daughter, 15 or 25 or 55 or 65. It don't matter. This is the main business of life. Hallelujah. Loving God. Enjoying God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey! Hey, brother and sister, I want to tell you something. The heathen worship their idols out of fear. We worship God out of love. We love Him. We adore Him. He's precious to us. That's what it means to be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, we love Him. Something inside of us is reaching out to God because we love Him and He's precious to us. When you've lost your worship, your soul is in danger. I said, your soul is in danger. When you've lost your worship, when no longer do you get up in the morning anticipating a meeting with God. When your experience with God has grown stale and you no longer enjoy the presence of God, you no longer take time for God. You no longer look forward to your meeting with God. Condemnation's upon your heart and mind. You avoid Him all you can. Just as lay me down to sleep prayer and just sort of skip by God every day. You're in danger. You're in real danger. Oh, brother, this is the most important business of life, that we love Him, we enjoy Him, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just when we come to church, not just when we come to the house of God, but every day of our life, we take time to worship God. I told you what the Lord spoke to me the other day. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. The Lord spoke to me the other morning. I went to my room to pray. I was telling the Lord about my needs. I felt it in my heart, the needs that I had. I'm telling the Lord, I'm talking to the Lord, Lord. Oh, God, these needs in the church, needs in my life. Needs. God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to come to me, not just because you have needs, but because you love me. Boy, I'm telling you, that got me. Got my attention. Lord, I've been trying to pray different now. I've been trying to go to God and say, God, I'm here to enjoy you. I'm here to fellowship with you. I have needs. I'll bring those needs to God. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that I worship you. The most important thing is that I know you better. The most important thing is that I have fellowship with you, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. My brother and sister, God is jealous over you. He's jealous of you because he loves you. And he knows if this relationship is broken, disaster is down the road. And he's trying to guard this relationship with you. God wants you to know him, love him, and enjoy him. I feel like we ought to pray tonight. I think we ought to gather around these altars and say, God, search me. Is there some idolatry in my heart? Is there something distracting me from the Creator? Some part of the creation that's stolen my affections, my heart from God? Hey, it could be your husband or wife. You know, we're supposed to love them as our own body. But there are some people who have an idolatrous affection for their companion. You say, preacher, that can't be. Oh, yes, it can be. Because the Lord tells us that we're to love him better than we love our wife or our husband. Could be a boyfriend or girlfriend. If we would sacrifice our time with God, if we'd sacrifice our relationship with God for the relationship with a boy or a girl, I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, this is a real danger to every little boy and every little girl, every young person. This is a real danger of sacrificing your relationship to God for a relationship with some boy or some girl. Some boy or girl, even in the church. Some boy or girl outside the will of God. You can sacrifice your relationship to God. You cannot spend all your waking hours punching buttons on a phone or talking on a phone and live for Jesus. You have got to be disciplined enough to spend time with God and cultivate a relationship with God. I want us to come right now to this altar, ask God to help us, that we'd love him, enjoy him, worship him like we should.